Genesis, the 13th chapter. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Went on his journey from the south even unto Bethel, on the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hea, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite and Perizzites dwelt then in the land. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. I'll take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, as well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Rise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I'll give it unto thee. And Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mam, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Reading, if correctly read, the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. It's good to be here and worship with you tonight. I have looked forward to returning to your church and fellowshipping with you and being your wonderful pastor. I greatly admire, I believe in 100%. He's genuine, has been all his ever since I knew him, and I knew him when he's little bitty. I watched him grow up for God. He's solid. He's genuine. And then you put on about him, what you see about him is real. Always been real. And I appreciate him very deeply. Got 100% confidence in him. You're fortunate to have him. You can't go wrong in supporting him. And you can't do too much for a man like him. Timothy said he's worthy of double pay, worthy of double honor. And don't let some fool say you've been too good to him. The Bible says you can't be too good. So you just be as good to him as you can and do everything you can. And God will bless you for it. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. God's gave him a wonderful, wonderful mate to help him. His wife is a wonderful young woman, living for God also. Thank God for she and the children that God has given the home. And it's just wonderful to have him here as an example, to live with you and to fellowship with you and to work with you.
Amen.
As many churches across this nation would be happy to have them. There's been times when I could recommend them to churches much bigger than yours, and they'd have grabbed him like just right now if I'd just said the word. But I felt for you because I love you. And I felt he ought to stay here till he led you, Father. And he was the one to do it.
Amen. Amen.
And as many churches would be honored and excited if they thought they could have a pastor like him right now. You're just fortunate to have him. And him is a spiritual gold mine. And I just thank God for him. I love him. And I have no apology to make for being his friend. And don't care who knows it. And you just stick with him. You won't ever be ashamed of it nor sorry for it. Let us pray. Our Father, we come tonight to pray for help. First of all, you help us for forgiving our sins and cleansing us. So we'll be fit vessels to be used of you tonight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you move in tonight and take us, anoint us and give us the power and loose our tongue, illuminate our mind. Help us in this hour to say what you won't say, no more, no less. We thank you for this church, for the stand she's taken, for what she's trying to do for your kingdom. And we pray, oh God, that you'll make her stronger than she's ever been.
Oh God, yes.
And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll give her the courage and the strength that she needs in these days when sin is raging and the devil's mad.
Yes.
We pray that the church will go right on.
Yes.
And trample underfoot the devil and his attempts to discourage and defeat, that he'll wind up defeating himself. Father, we pray for every member of this church. We pray for the leaders of this church. We pray for this wonderful group that sings so wonderfully in this church. Keep them dedicated and separated to your purpose. Now, Father, we pray tonight you'll bless every home in this church. Don't let the devil tear any of the homes up. And, oh God, how we pray that you'll keep a hedge about the homes. And don't let the devil cause sickness or disturbance in any of them. They just all have peaceful, happy homes for thy glory. We pray that you'll bless every preacher that's here tonight, every church that's represented here tonight. And, oh God, how we pray that you'll save the lost ones that's here tonight. Help them to realize they need God above everything else. And if they don't get God, they'd be better if they'd never been born in this world than to live and die without God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that that will burst through on them. That the worst thing that could happen was for them to be born and live without God. So, oh God, how we pray the lost people will be saved during these days of gathering together here. Help us, O Father, as we gather tonight and just pray that thy power will be released and thy glory will be manifested for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want us to think about a scripture. And Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed. he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. We have here in this 13th chapter one of the most simple and yet one of the most powerful, vivid pictures of right and wrong choice that you find anywhere in the Bible. I just want to lift it out tonight and let you see it best I can. Abram had been told to arise and go to a place that God will show him. Abraham pulls stakes and gets up to go, and the neighbor said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm just going." God said, "Go, and I'm going." And of course, the neighbor said, "Well, don't know where you're going?" He loaded everything, loaded his family, loaded his cattle, loaded his possessions, loaded his herdmen. Here he headed. Didn't know where he's going, but God had shown him.
Amen.
And as a result of it, no doubt they said, "Have you heard the latest? Uncle Abram's gone crazy. He's lost his mind over God. Just pulled up and gone, don't know where he's going. Feel sorry for his family. Feel sorry for his herdmen. They just followed him out. They don't know where he's going." But after a while, he got to the place and God said, "This is it." And Abram said, "All right, if this is it, then this is where I'll stop." And they stopped, and the first thing he did, he built an altar and worship God.
Amen.
That's the first thing. He built an altar and worship God.
Amen.
He had his family to worship God. He had his herdmen to worship God.
Amen.
Before he did any other kind of business, before he did anything else, he did business for God.
Amen.
And as a result, he took up then and began to plant other things. And then we had Lot, his nephew, gone along with him. And Abram was rich in cattle. He was a rich man. He had a lot. So did his nephew Lot. Well do. And so Lot was going right along with him. And some of Lot's family and some of Lot's herdmen say, "Hey, Lot, your Uncle Abram's cracked up on religion. Everywhere he goes, he has to get this altar stuff. He has to have this praying stuff. He has to be religious, overbearing. And my family and your family is getting fed up on it. Why do we have to do everything Uncle Abram says? Why do we have to act like God says? Why do we have to go on like that in our religion? Can't we have some like some of the other folks around have religion? What have to have it like that for?" And as a result of it, they start. And they create a disturbance and create a fuss. And Lot goes to Uncle Abram and said, "That my herdman and your herdman is having a little trouble. There's strife between them. They're fussing somewhere over some things." Abram said, "Strife? We're brethren. Lust don't have no fuss over the thing. Lust don't have no strife. If you don't like the way the things are going, you get your crowd and get out here and pick you out a place and take it. And then I'll go the way I want to go. The whole world's out here before you. What do you want? All of me all the time are fussing and disturbed and upset when the whole world's out here before you. I tell you, Lot, you just take what you want and I'll take what's left." And no doubt Lot went back and told the family and his herdmen and their families. They said, "Tell me, Mr. Lot, you know down that word Sodom and Gomorrah? They're having time down there. They're having all kind of dances. They're having all kind of drinking. They're having all kind of frolicking. And they're not having all this religious stuff crammed down them. They don't have to pray and live so religious. They're just having a good time down there. Why don't you pick down there and let us go down there and grow the cattle down there and serve God down there and live down there, if that's what it. And he said, Uncle Abram, they built a hell of the plains of Jordan. It's as well watered. And got that plains of Jordan is plenty of water, plenty of grass. He said, oh, I can make it down there. So Lot chose the plains of Jordan, plenty of water. He could still get rich. Plenty of grass, still get rich. Now, if he'd have done what was right, he said, all right, Uncle Abram, since you've been so nice about it, we'll divide it. You take some of the grass and some water down the plains of Jordan and some of the hills, and I'll take some, we'll divide. No, he took all the plains and all the water and all the grass. Left old Abraham nothing but a high hill and no water. That's all he left him. And he moved down and claimed the possession of the plains and the grass and the water and moved his family down there. Selfishness got him in the wrong place. Selfishness got him with the wrong crowd. And selfishness got him away from God. Selfishness will get you with the wrong crowd. Selfishness gets you in the wrong place.
Yes, amen.
And selfishness gets you away from God.
Amen.
And that's what it did. And as a result, Uncle Abram didn't get pitch a fit and say, you little smart aleck, you took advantage of me. Said, Water agreed. Help yourself, Lot. Lot moves down. When he gets gone, Abraham gets out here and gets down on his knees at his altar. Mind you, he still got an altar. That didn't wreck his altar. And he didn't get his feelings hurt and get mad where he couldn't pray. He didn't get some kind of spirit he couldn't pray. He still prayed. He still felt all about it. He got down and got talking to God about, I ain't got no water. Hey, I need some water. And God punched him and said, Abraham, get up from that. Look northward, eastward, southward, but everywhere you see, just look at all over. It's all going to be yours. And when it's all over, it's all yours. Just help yourself, Abraham, and I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you, and I'll bless your children, and I'll bless those that bless your children, and I'll curse those that curse your children.
Amen.
And Abraham found water for his cattle, and he found water for his herdmen. God showed him where to dig the wells, and there's plenty of water, and God caused grass to grow, and the cattle didn't starve, and the people didn't starve, and his business flourished, and God's blessings come on him. And God blessed his descendants, and he blessed them on and on.
Right.
Now let's look at something right here, a little further over, to verify. I call heaven and earth to reckon this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. If you choose the blessings of God and choose the right way, then you bless your seed.
Yeah.
Thou and thy seed, thy offspring will live and be blessed.
Yeah.
That's what Abraham's done. He's chose right and chose God. God's blessed him, blessed his offspring, and he's still blessing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody's messed with them and cursed them. He's cursed them.
Yeah.
So as a result, Lot then turned away from God. Carried his family all down there and didn't worship God. He pitched his tent towards the crowd that's a drinking and a dancing and a sexing and a sinning and leaving God out. No praying, no altars, no nothing but a high healing time. Didn't believe in altars, didn't believe in Abraham's way, didn't believe in living a godly life. That narrow, minded religious crowd, that folks that's all the time wanting to pray, that folks that don't believe in sinning, that folks that don't believe in living right, nothing but you got to live right or you're not right and all that. We're not going to have nothing to do with it. We're going down here so we can enjoy living. If we want to dance, we dance. If we want to sex, we sex. If we want to drink, we drink. If we want to cuss, we cuss. If we want to gamble, we gamble. If we want to desecrate God's day, we desecrate. If we want to lie, we lie. If we want to steal, we steal. If we want to cheat, we cheat. We're not bothered. We're not got some preacher looking down our nose. We're not got some preacher telling us how to live. We're not got some preacher boss us. We live like we will. We go when we want to go and we stay when we want to stay. We live like we want to live and no preacher's going to tell us how to live. We've got it where we can live up. And we took all our family down on the crowd. We're pitching our tent with that crowd. We're not going to let our crowd grow up on that Abraham stuff. We're not going to let them grow up under that. But we'll find out where they grew up on Abraham's. My friends, if they've been blessed and the descendants have been blessed and everybody that's messed with them has been cursed and their descendants has been cursed and it still holds true now. And it'll hold true to Gable to succumb it. Just assured of that thing. So as a result, he pitched his family down there with that desecrating, sinful, worry, godless, indifferent, don't care. He's religious, sure, but not righteous. They had religion of some sort. They said some god of some sort. But you listen, old Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you serve. If it seem evil to serve the Lord, then choose the Lord that you'll serve. If it's too monotonous, it is too boresome, it's too hard for you to serve the Lord Jehovah, pick you out a God. You're going to serve some kind of God. Pick you out a God. I tell you, that church is too strict. We're not going to serve God in that church. We're not going to worship God in that church. They got too high standards. They expect too much. We're not going to raise our family in a church that has such standards that expect folks to live like that. We're just not going to bring our family up. No, you're going to bring them down there to some church that don't have no standards. They can drink, they can curse, they can commit, and get drunk, they can do lie, they can steal, they can do anything else and get by because, my friends, there they are. And that's where the Baptist churches are headed today, is moving their families down with the pushy foot and back slapping air kicking preachers of the day. That's where they're going. You just well to fix it out, my friends. And Lot moved down there and exceedingly sinful was the men of Sodom and Gomorrah. Exceedingly sinful. He puts his family in there. He put his herdmen in there. He put everything he had down in there. And you remember, my friends, something I want to call your attention to. I want to be sure I stay in the book. Because I ain't going to go do it him again, you know. I'm too smart for that. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That crowd that's want to be friendly to the worldly place and the worldly things that preach and teach and practice the world living, they're enemies of God. I don't care whether they're Baptists or Holiness, I don't care who they are, the enemies of God. Regardless of what kind of religion they got and who's the preacher filled in, they're enemies of God. Here it is in the book. I'm still in the book, white folks. I want you to see it tonight. And as a result of it, his choice pitched them down there. And let's look through the mother. Pass the scripture right quick. I'm taking time to turn some scripture and get through, because when I take off, you're going to see some things. Love not the world. Second chapter, 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Now, if you're going to love the world of things and the world of places, you're not of God.
Amen.
You're not with God. God don't do it.
Right.
And you're not going to do it either if you love God.
Amen.
So what do you want to sit around and criticize and find fault and pick at folks that are trying to live separated lives for us? Trying to live a straight life and preach a straight life and teach your children to live right and stay away from the drinking and dancing and cussing and going naked and committing sin. What do you want to condemn folks to preaching their separated life for and a dedicated separated life for when that's God's way of living and you want to go some other way? You're loving the world, you're loving sin, and you're against God when you do it, and you know you're against God. That's the whole thing. You say, I don't like you. That don't worry me. Lot's choice. His choice involved his influence with his family. Involved his influence with his neighbors. Involved his influence with his family. Involved his influence with his herdmen, men who work for him, businessmen. Involved his business. His choice involved his future. His choice helped bring about his failures. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. He pitches his tent, and he lost his influence when he pitched his tent down there with the Sodomites and Gomorrites and the men that's sinful. He lost his influence. When you go to cussing and telling dirty jokes with the cussing, joking crowd, you've lost your influence. I don't care who you are. When you go to taking social drinks and playing cards and dancing and a honky-tonking and going naked and fooling around with sin and the honky-tonking, you're losing your influence. I don't care who you are, preacher, deacon, steward, elder, what you are. You've lost your influence with the businessmen, the professional men, all of it. You've lost your influence. Lot lost his. How much influence did he have on those Sodomites and Gomorrites? Men in Sodom and Gomorrah, how much influence could Lot have on when he'd gone down there and joined in with them, participated with them, practicing what they're doing? How are you going to influence folks like that when you cuss like they cuss, drink like they stay out of the same bottle, drink the same beer, hang out in the same honky-tonks, dance the same dance, wall around the same cesspools of sin, roadhouse and hell holes they pull in? Who are you going to influence with that kind of life and that kind of influence?
That's
right. Just pitched his tent. He lost his influence. His family lost confidence in him. His headman lost confidence in him. The neighborhood lost confidence in him. And my friends, as a result of it, Uncle Abram couldn't do anything with him. As a result of it, his fellowship and communion with God's lost. God don't fellowship sin. God can't fellowship sin. If we walk in the light, it's easy in the light, we have fellowship. But if you walk in darkness, God don't fellowship it. He lost sight of godliness, living a godly life, living a righteous life. Then points out, he lost sight. And then he lost power. He no longer has power over the devil. He no longer has power over sin. Listen, when you leave the righteous life, when you leave the altars, when you quit living a separated life and going down with the devil's crowd, and leaving the altar crowd, leaving the righteous crowd, leaving the separated livers, you fed to the where it's going to sap your power. You ain't got no power. You like a run-down battery. All you can do is buzz. Your power's gone. You ever step on a starter when the battery's down? And when you fool around this worldly crowd and worldly place and worldly stuff long enough, all you can do as a Christian just, I don't believe this. I don't feel like that. I think that's radicalism. I think that's finance. I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe in living like that. I don't believe in trying to be so good. You don't get cranked up. You never crank nothing. You never start nothing. The world go to hell if they're waiting on you to start a revival. As well to face the truth. The loss of spiritual sensitivity. Your conscience is seared with sin. You don't have any conscience anymore. You can drink, you can cuss, you can lie, you can tell dirty jokes, you can commit sin, and you don't have any conscience anymore. You've seared your conscience with the hot irons of sin. You've lost your prayer life. When you pray, it doesn't give it above your lip. You've lost. Why? You pitched it in. You moved down here in the plains of Jordan. Where are you going to get rich? Where are you going to enjoy the new life? I'm tired of living under that narrow-minded preacher in that narrow-minded church that thinks you got to live so-and-so and act so-and-so to be a Christian. I'm tired of that narrow stuff, that narrow Christianity. I'm tired. I'm going to get down here so I can be broad-minded. Everybody else doing that, I can do it with them and enjoy living. You enjoy playing with sin, but you don't get into anything for God. When you pray, you'll just buzz. That's all you do. That's all you do. You're lost. It's terrible. He began to lose. When he got down there, what did he do? Pitch his tent. First of all, he lost his family. He couldn't do anything with his family. He tried to get them out of it. He woke up. Hey, after a while, he woke up. God's going to burn that stuff up. Hey, God will burn that kind of life up after a while. Listen to this old white-headed preacher. That kind of stuff ain't a-going to heaven. He'll burn it up. It's not going to be transported to heaven. It'll go to hell and get burned up. And all your works for the devil and the devil's world and all this world is still going to burn up. All you invest in it, all you build for it, all you honor with, going to get burned up. One big two. It all burned up, didn't it? And the Dead Sea stands there where it used to be. And God said in the book of Peter, he stood it there to remind others who should live in godly what had happened. And the Dead Sea, the water never, the level of that Dead Sea never falls or rises. Stays on the same level. For 2,000 years, that Dead Sea's at the same water level. Anything gets in there dies. Fresh water runs off the hills of Lebanon, the purest, cleanest, freshest water in the world. But it's dead when it gets in that sea. God does that! God says to every generation, if you leave me and go off down here and leave me out and leave the altars and don't pray and don't live and don't practice living for God, you're going to wind up with a Dead Sea. All you got's going to burn up. You ain't going to have nothing left. That's a question. There's a sentence right there. No question about it. Lot, you pitched his tent down there. What did he gain? Nothing. His herds all burned up. His herdmen all burned up. His children and grandchildren and son-in-laws all burned up for two. His wife turned their pillar salt. And the two that got out got him drunk and committed adultery with him. Gave birth to two of the wickedest generations. All of them lived on the face of the earth, the Amorites and the Moabites. Took 10 generations to clear that mess up. And Lot never did get blessed after that. Mind you, when Mr. Lot left Uncle Abraham and said, I'm going down here and pitch my tent with a sodomizing wife. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, lads and lasses, when you leave the dedicated, separated preaching and teaching of the sure enough church and go off with the world, modernized church, you're going to wind up in the same predicament for your family, for your business, for your everything. You're going to wind up the same way. Jesus gave you another good example of it. A man had two sons. One of them said, give me the portion that belongs to me. I'm tired of living under discipline. I'm tired of being bossed around here and tell what I can do and I can't do. Give me the one that belongs to me. The father gave it to him. And he tucked off down here with that same crowd. And he spins and drinks and dances and frolics and has him a big time. In the world, spending on booze and crooked women and nightclubs and everything until he spends it all. Jesus said he spent it all down there. And when he spent it all, he said, what a fool. My father's got hard service, got more than I got. Not children, he's got some folks he hires got more than I got. They got something to eat and somewhere to sleep. I ain't got nowhere to eat but the hogs and sleeping the hogs. I'm going to rise and go back and tell him, make me a hard servant. I'm not fit to be a son. He got home. He said, my father, I've sinned against God in his sight, and I'm sorry. Make me a hard servant. He couldn't make him a hard servant, his son. He said, put a robe on him, put shoes on his feet. Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. Feed him. But it didn't even let him inherit anything. He didn't have something to wear and something to eat and a pair of shoes when he got back home. He didn't inherit anything. He lost it all down yonder in that far country. Why? He didn't want to be disciplined. He didn't want to be controlled. He lost all because he wasn't willing to be controlled. We got a lot of Baptists that don't want the church to tell them how to live. Don't want the Sunday school teachers to teach them. Don't want the preachers to preach. Don't want the mamas and papas to tell them how to live. They don't want discipline in the home. They don't want discipline in the church. And they want to live like the devil. And you parents are backing up on it. You're wrecking your children. You're going to destroy your children. You're damning their lives as a result of it. My friends, the one that stayed home had it. What did the father say? He said to the son that stayed home, all I have is thine. You're going to inherit everything. What God said, Abraham said, God said to Abraham, all I have is thine. This father said to that son, all I have is thine. All of him was burned up. And the Nancy, all the prodigal son had was burned up and blown in. Why? Wouldn't you just bow down to discipline. Wouldn't bow into obedience. Wouldn't submit to control. He's going to go out and live his life like I want to live. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to direct my living. Nobody's going to boss me with the Bible. Nobody's going to tell me God won't let me do this and that. I'll live like I want to live. Selfishness, greediness gets you with the wrong crowd. And the wrong crowd gets you away from God and then get all you got and rob you and then kick you out. Not only that, but I want you to see, young man, when you leave the church and go with that current bunch, first thing you know, they'll rob you of your wives and your daughters. I've seen a lot of people leave their church, get murdered at the church and the preacher because they had discipline and expected folks to live up to some things. They just get mad and run off. First thing you know, the homes break.
Yes,
the wives leave. Somebody steals your wives. Somebody steals your daughters and commits adultery with them, rapes them, this, that, and the other, wrecks their home. They're disgraced for this life. Why? They wasn't for God. They weren't living for God. But were they living for God? God blesses, God protects, God looks after them, and there's the different story. That's what I want you to see tonight. And Lot, Abram said, all right, son, we're not going to fuss about this thing having to come out of control. We're not going to have fussing between your herdmen and my herdmen. We're going to hold strife. If you want to live, your herdmen don't want to live. You just choose what you want and take it, and I'll stay here with mine. And what you're going to do, if you don't want to live right, if you don't want to live for God, if you don't live a righteous life, you don't live a disciplined life, if you don't want to live a separate life, just choose. But who are you going to pitch? Who are you going to pitch your family with? Who are you going to pitch your wives with? Who are you going to put your wives with? Who are you going to put your children with? Who are you going to put your business with? Who are you going to put your influence with? When you get away from seriousness,
right,
discipline, and the right kind of teachings,
yeah.
Who's going to put them in? What are they going to do to your wives?
Right.
What are they going to do to your children?
Yes.
What's going to become of them?
Oh,
and he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the men in Sodom were exceedingly wicked. Exceedingly wicked. Who are you pitching the tent of your family, your businesses? Which way are you pitching it tonight, neighbor? Which way is going to be safe? All the way with God? So God will say, well, since you've pitched everything with me, I'll bless you. And I'll bless your descendants. And I'll curse those that curse you. And I'll curse those that curse your descendants. And I'll bless your descendants. Are you going to pitch it with the crowd and God say, I'm cursing those. And I'll curse all that connected with those. Which way are you pitching tonight, fellas? Face it. What loss will you suffer? Who will suffer as a result of the children will suffer? Wives will suffer. Homes will suffer. Wealth and business will flop. Homes will go on the rocks. Judgment will come because God will send judgment.
Right. Amen.
As for me and my house,
yeah,
we're going to serve God, Joshua said.
Yeah.
Choose ye this day whom you serve.
Right.
If it's too rough to serve God, then choose what you're going to serve.
Right.
A lot of folks think it's too narrow. In 1984, a lot of folks say, I'm tired of this narrow life. I'm tired of this Jesus stuff. I'm tired of this God stuff. Can't do this, can't go naked, can't do this, and can't do that, can't drink, can't dance, and can't do this. I'm tired of this narrow living. I'm tired of this preacher looking down my back and fussing me living wrong. I'm tired of mom and papa trying to control me. I'm going to go over with the world and leaves and having a good time. Yeah, you got selfish. You're going to have a good time. But who you having with? What are they going to do to you? And when you get in trouble, you got away from those folks that can get you to God. You've lost the prayers of those that can help you. You're too far. We can't get you. When they smell us, folks, it's too late to put the fire out. For me and my house, we're going to serve God. What about you and your house? We're brethren. I'm not saying a lot of those folks are not Christians. They just stood off the harness. Said, I'm not going to pull with this crowd that's narrow and selfish and trying to live so good and trying to listen to that preacher and that church that reads and lives so strict and so narrow. I'm just not going to pull that crowd. I'm going to kick out and run on down here with this crowd. You sure? And look who you run with. And look what they're doing to you. And when they get it done, don't go calling back. Because God ain't going to give you none of the kingdom. He's going to give the kingdom to the ones that's been faithful.
Amen.
May we stand together, our head bowed, our eye closed, as the organist comes. Just ready to play some invitation on him. There's no preacher alive that I know of can do any more for me than that preacher. Not a greater messenger alive today than Dr. Percy Ray, 73 years old. Rode all the way from Mississippi today and preached such a great message. He's been sick. You'd never know it. Thank God for the message. And I want to notify you one thing. The message just wasn't thrown out and bounced off the walls. It went home. God knew what we needed.